This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fake the Nation, episode 248.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we're off to another Ramadan. I am your host, Nagin Farsad, and we've been through a few Ramadans together. I've given up certain forms of anger in previous Ramadans. For this one, though, I want to be patient when I explain technical things. Wait for it. To my parents. Oh, because I don't know about you guys. I get real mad. So I'm going to try and work on that this Ramadan. Today, we are going to talk about vaccine passports. We're going to talk about Dante Wright and about changing your personality. I'm so excited by today's panel. We have joining us for the very first time. He's a comedian. He's a gay icon. He's co-host of the podcast Keeping Record, which is another HeadGum podcast, which makes him one of my podcasting cousins. Folks, it's Caleb Heron. Hey, Caleb.
Hi. Thank you. That was very gracious of you to include gay icon on your own. I didn't mention that. You just came up with that, which was really sweet.
I immediately detected gay iconography when
gay,
I met you.
Your gay so icon-dar just was going off.
It was going off. Yep. It went out of control. Yeah. So I was happy to throw that in. Joining us, not for the first time, she's been on the show before. She's been in my life for many years because she's such a fucking fabulous stand-up comedian. She's also the comedian behind NYT Vows, which you should absolutely be following on Instagram and on Twitter. It is the New York Times wedding vow section parody site, and it's so funny. Folks, it's Selena Kopic. Hey, Selena.
Hey, Nagin. Hello, hello. It's great to be here.
Oh my God, you're so technical. Are you? Selena has talked about being not technologically savvy.
Yeah.
Are you worse than my mom, though?
I wonder. I mean, I kind of want to tap into you helping me out as well when you're done with the shift, helping your mom swing over my place. Because, I am here in my closet with every piece of Mac equipment I own in my life.
Right. No, and you know, you look great doing it. This is my Ramadan thing, is that if you have a technological issue, and I'm not that fucking great, but I will try to calmly explain to you what is going on with your technological issue. That's my vow for Ramadan.
I think that's really positive, Nagin. My mom has started. Maybe you could get your parents to start doing this. It really has softened the blow for me. My mom forgets every password she's ever fucking had, and she has started apologizing before she asks. Like the text will be like, "I'm so sorry. I'm gonna write it down this time. Please do not be mad. No rush at all. ... I need the Netflix password." And we did it like 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean? So maybe if they could just come a little more correctly to you.
Yes. Well, also, I feel like I'm also the keeper of their pass. It's not like just the Netflix or whatever, but it's like I am the keeper of a lot of their passwords.
Yeah.
Like password. And it's just like, I can't explain to them the thing with password, whatever those are called, password holders.
Oh, yeah, keychain or something? No, thank you.
Like all that shit. I can't. It's just like, so now it's just like me. I'm the fucking keychain. I mean,
yeah,
anyway,
yeah, human keychain.
Oh, did you see? I started getting angry. But you know what? It's Ramadan, so I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. There we go. There it is. Let's get into it with topic number one. So we're going to talk about the wild world of vaccine passports. But before we do that, can we just say a quick thing about the Johnson & Johnson news, which is that they've halted distribution of it because of a very rare incidence of blood clots. It's, I think, six people in 7 million doses that have been administered so far. So I don't want to oversell it. I don't want to undersell it. Those are the numbers. Selena, what did you think when you heard about this news with the J&J vaccine?
I just felt like, hello, men. Welcome to caring about blood clots, I guess. Like, I'm sorry. We've those of us who've been on oral contraceptives in the past, birth control causes blood clots. And since high school, I feel like every woman I know has been aware of this, has been mindful of it. I mean, I remember in college, a lot of people being like, you know, you shouldn't smoke cigarettes if you're on the pill. Like, it's just so funny. All these like blood clot Johnny come latelys who suddenly really care about blood clots. Like, give me a break, you newcomers. I was into blood clots from the ground floor.
Blood clot Johnny come latelys is the now title of this episode. Caleb, what was your thoughts when you heard the news?
You know, I'm a J&J vaccinated hoe, and I feel like
people getting
I'm also a super hypochondriac. I have been scared of blood clots since I first really got into my hypochondria in like late high school.
Like a cool kid. Cool kid. Yeah.
I've been there, babe. Blood clots terrify me. But I feel like people that are freaking out about this, I'm like, literally, you have a bad. I'm pretty sure more people die in a year from like being tipped over a vending machine. You know what I mean? Like, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning. Yeah, it's insane. Like,
People are
being way too scary about it.
I mean, because the AstraZeneca thing was also a blood clot thing, and then they found that the incidence of blood clots was actually lower than what the incidence of it is in just the regular population in a normal situation. Yeah. So they just, you know, so they were sort of like, let's not, you know, make a whole to-do out of this. And obviously, we still don't know what, you know, the full story with the Johnson & Johnson. We're going to let the scientists figure that out. Luckily, Caleb, Selena, good news, me and the two of you don't have to decide anything. No. Scientifically, it's not up to us. I asked the CDC. I was just like, let's make sure. Do we have anything to do with the decision making? And they were like, no. decided to leave most of the podcasting community out of their decision making, which I thought was
really interesting. Which is an oversight. I find that to be an oversight.
Yeah, because I've used aloe vera on some interesting problems, and I have some ideas. But I think the AstraZeneca thing, you know, what I don't want to see happen is for Americans to be like, well, I'm done with Johnson & Johnson forever because of this little hiccup. This is a hiccup. The medical community is going to make some determinations about this hiccup. And then you're going to also learn about the kinds of risks you take, like you mentioned, Selena, with fucking birth control pills or with fucking Viagra.
Or flying in an airplane. I mean, there's high incidence, you know, like... Yeah, I mean, exactly. These are, and it's too bad because I fear that it's going to turn into bad faith, you know, like people using it in bad faith to claim, well, that's why I'm not getting vaxxed. It's like,
exactly.
Give me a
break.
We
just don't want to see that happen, which is why we want the self-proclaimed J&J hoes like Caleb to be out and proud about their J&J vaccine status.
Yeah, and also be realistic. Like, a couple hours ago, I walked to Walgreens to pick up a couple things, and I almost got hit by a truck because I was listening to music and not paying attention. Like, I almost walked out into the street, and there's no world where I'd be like, God, going to Walgreens is killing people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, have some perspective.
Did you consider that almost getting killed going to Walgreens was the fault of the J&J vaccine?
Well, at this point, it's like we might need to consider it. Like, it kind of sounds like that's what we're doing now.
I'm calling the CDC right now.
Please do.
Okay, let's move on to the issue of vaccine passport. So the Biden administration has said, I almost said the Biden administration, which is just
with
like
you
a new
and
Biden.
Joe. Yeah.
The Biden administration has said that they don't want to do a whole federal vaccine passport thing. So they're out of that game. Some states are banning vaccine passports. And what's interesting about that is that they don't want a passport that could discriminate against people who haven't been vaccinated, but they don't mind bills that discriminate against trans people. Oh, it's just a fun compartmentalization that they're able to live with. They don't see that connection. But anyways, let's talk about what a vaccine passport is and why it's potentially a touchy subject. Selena, what is your understanding of how they work?
I mean, I think I've read in some places the phrasing vaccine passport is problematic, you know, and that it is. I mean, I know the one they're doing presently in New York, where it's like an iPhone app and you can show that you've gotten vaccinated in order to get into events at MSG and such.
By the way, the one in New York has a very medieval times name to it. It's called the Excelsior Pass.
Excelsior. So, oh, that's sweet.
So continue.
But yeah, it seems, I mean, it's, well, you know, I don't want, I kind of want to pivot into my opinion on it. But yeah, it seems as though, especially presently, while some people are vaccinated, many people are not, you know, to mitigate risk, it's a way to just know, okay, like who could gather maskless and what are the likelihoods of transmission and that type of thing. Am I right?
Right, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot. No, that's exactly right. And just to give a couple of concrete examples of how it might work, like in New York, they're talking about, again, like that Excelsior Pass isn't sort of like state mandated. I mean, it's like in a beta phase or something like that. So it's not like I haven't, you know, used it, for example. But they're thinking about doing a situation where, like, you know, you could go to a Rangers game and vaccinated people would all sit in one area.
Oh, wow.
Or, like, you know, they're talking about using passes. So, for example, you know, Cornell University for the fall semester is requiring vaccination. And they're, you know, they'll have a little – they already have an app where people upload their coronavirus tests, you know, on a regular basis. So they'll use that system to be able to track who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, and whatever. If you're not vaccinated, you can't go. Which is, by the way, the case already for other schools with other vaccines, right?
Exactly.
Like you can't go to – I remember having to show all of my vaccine records to go to wherever the fuck I went. So anyways, so what is your opinion of the process of, like, doing something like that?
I mean, I think – because and I've seen – from some people I know, you know, posting on Instagram, you know, and claiming that this is a, you know, loss of freedom and infringing on their rights. And I mean, it's just so absurd to me. And I think it's too bad because I think the phrase vaccine passport makes it seem like it's something different and special. And I think because it's new, people are like, I'm suspicious. But I mean, yeah, we've had to do this. I remember every first day of school, you got to bring, you know, that you had your measles, mumps, rubella, all that stuff, like playing the hits.
Yeah.
And this isn't new. And it's just, I mean, it's just funny, too, because I feel like, you know, Americans throw away our privacy with both hands in so many instances. And then yet when something where it's for the common good and it's a matter of public health, suddenly they're like suspicious about. I mean, I find it so backwards. Like, I think it makes so much sense. And these are strange times. And yeah, if it has to be that you have to split by group of vax versus unvax, like, I don't want to hang out with these unvax dirty birds.
Caleb, where are you on the vax versus unvax dirty bird spectrum?
You know what? I'm going to do something that I think is uniquely and very specially American, which is issue a take without having read too much about this.
Yes!
You know, and I'm comfortable.
Nobody has ever done that on this show before.
I am shocked and alarmed.
I am comfortable doing this, and if anyone wants to come for me later for something that I need to know that didn't, that's fine. I think, look, a lot of the people that are lining up against this are the same people who line up. We're talking about privileges. We're not talking about rights. Do I think it should be used for your ability to be treated at a hospital or to ride public transportation? No, I don't think that's fair. A concert at Madison Square Garden is pretty much the same thing as the people that are lined up against vaccine passports. They're all lined up for the idea of a business being able to not bake a cake for a gay wedding.
Right,
so it's like,
right.
These are private businesses. These are privileges. And fuck yeah, we should use it. Because the problem... I would also say that if the situation was just you're unvaccinated, you could be harming yourself, I'd be like, fuck it, get COVID and go nuts and have the lung respiratory issues. But the problem is if not enough people get vaccinated and we don't do some big moves to like incentivize and kind of force it, then we're going to get a bunch of different variants that's going to keep this shit going on forever. So it's like, at some point, whatever we can do that isn't just holding people down and giving them a shot, like any social pressure we can give to be like, yeah, if you want to go to a concert, if you want to go to restaurants, if you want to travel outside of the necessary like public in your city kind of ways, then yeah, you need to fucking prove that you have a vaccine because we need to move on from this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so my take on it is I'm going to go ahead and make like a an argument against the equity argument, which is that I think, you know, people are talking about, like, you know, it's not, we're creating classes of people. People are vaccinated, people are unvaccinated, whatever, you know, and then that means that those people can't go on their Norwegian cruises because, by the way, Norwegian and Royal Caribbean have decided that vaccine, that they're going to have a vaccine requirement. But the thing is that going on a Norwegian cruise was already divided the haves and the have-nots. It's not like, you know, yeah, what I mean? Right. It's not like cruise liners, the great equalizers. Like, that's not what, you know, we were already, for a lot of these activities, we were already putting classes of groups into who can afford it and who can't. Now, vaccines aren't a question of affordability because everyone can get them for free. There might be some questions of access, and a lot of states are trying to do everything they can to kind of, like, deal with those access questions. So I think, like, it's just, it's not the same. The equity argument isn't the same. And then I would make the case that I'm okay with this. By the way, it's temporary, right? Until this shit is figured out. Because there is a world in which we can get herd immunity without the, you know, the, let's say it's, I think it's 80% you get herd immunity, and that means 20% didn't get the vaccine. And maybe, you know, maybe, like, if you're a stalwart anti-vaxxer, maybe we don't need you for herd immunity. If you're, if it's like, if 20%, if it's you and 20% of you, then maybe we're okay and we can get through this and it's fine. So this is a temporary situation that will, and this is my bigger argument, help us get through the economic calamity that is, that this pandemic has wrought. If these vaccine passports mean more people can go to the theater and support the arts, if it means more people can go to the cinema and support the arts, if it means more people can go to sports venues and support those teams and support the local economies that have suffered from not having games, that have suffered from not having theater, that have suffered from, you know, not having all sorts of things that go on, this is a way to kind of help jumpstart it. And if it means a temporary feeling of there's a class of people that have vaccines and a class that don't, I'm not sure, but in my limited thinking on this, I think I can, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I actually feel like the, I personally feel like the, and I have a very particular perspective on this, that a lot of my family is from rural, the rural Midwest, and I know a couple people who are nurses in those areas that cannot give away the vaccine. They cannot get people to come and take them. They're throwing them away. So I'm like, the equity thing to me feels like a very, it feels like a thing that happens a lot, which is people doing a bad faith co-opt of something that actually matters. Equity is an actually important conversation in a lot of things, but the vaccines are free. There are mass vaccination sites. People are begging to give them away in a lot of the communities where there would be an equity issue. And people are just co-opting that conversation to try and, like, make it a level playing field with, like you said, Nagin, the actual conversations where that's important and relevant.
Yeah.
Right. And I also want to point out, like, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis already banned the requirement of vaccination proof documents in the state, which has actually made the cruise business really worried because they want to reopen, but they only want to reopen with vaccinations, right? Yeah. And obviously that's something that the governor has to, like, reckon with, because cruise liners leaving ports of Florida, that's a big fucking thing, right? Like, that's a big part of the economy. I mean, I don't know how big. I'm just saying that. It seems like it would be big. Yeah. Don't fucking at me. I have no idea. But it seems like it would be big. You know what? I quit this podcast. I shouldn't be hosting it. But, you know, the Missouri House of Representatives gave initial approval on Monday, prohibiting any government entity or business from requiring COVID-19 vaccination. And, you know, I think I'm in New York, and in New York, it seems like everyone's getting the vaccine. Yeah. So, like, what? But these governors are also dealing with populations that, like you said, Caleb, there might be some people that are like, no, thank you. So I can understand they have competing interests and a need to get reelected. So, yeah. You know, that's unfortunate that it comes into play. Final thoughts on this, Selena? What do you think? Will you be downloading the Excelsior Pass?
I think I will. And, you know, I don't know if I sound like some sort of, like, robot who's like, follow the directions. But I want my normal life back, you know? Like, I'm excited to go to California and see one of my sisters. And, you know, like, I'm really eager to get my life back. And I think if in the name of public health, if this is what we have to do, I'm all for it. And, you know, my whole life I've been vaccinated and everything's been A-OK. You know, I got all the, you know, when I was a little baby, I got all the shots and like everything's been fine. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a Pfizer girl living in a big world, in a Barbie world.
Oh, and I'm Moderna. The three of us represent the three.
My God, unity.
So cute. All right. Well, folks, let me know what you think. We didn't even get into like the entire world of the apps. Is just, they're all over the place. There's multiple apps. It's like that. Just the technological bit is a little bit of a mess until one rises to the top, I guess. I don't know what will happen. But let me know. What do you think? Are you going to get a vaccine passport? Do you think you should have to do it? I'm so curious to know your thoughts. And in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8 exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. And we are back. And folks, before we get into topic numero dos, I wanted to remind you guys to join my Patreon at patreon.com/NagineFarsad. Next week, we're coming up with the second bonus segment of Fake the Nation. It's a doozy, and it's going to be real fun. So for all the bonus materials from Fake the Nation, including bonus essays from me, t-shirts, mugs, the just overwhelming satisfaction that you're supporting one of your favorite shows, definitely join patreon.com/NagineFarsad. We have many levels of support. Now, let's get into it with topic number two. We're just going to quickly mention this because Not Enough is out, and this is an ongoing discussion. But a couple nights ago, Dante Wright was a passenger in a car with an expired license plate after he was stopped by the police. And after running his ID, the officers found an outstanding warrant for unspecified gross misdemeanor. I don't know what that means. He was taken out of the car. He tried to get back in. Officer Kim Potter yelled taser. Then she shot him with one bullet. According to some other officers, it seems like that was... she meant to use a taser and accidentally used a bullet. It is unclear. Again, I don't know, but the result was that was a fatal shot and Dante Wright died. There were protests. Unfortunately, some looting. There were pleas from Wright's mother to stop the violence. Potter has resigned. They're looking at pressing charges. It's a just the whole thing is utterly fucking heartbreaking again. And God, it's just really sad. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's become a thing where people keep it, this just keeps happening, where cops continue to kill someone who's unarmed, resisting or whatever aside, unarmed. And specifically this argument of I didn't realize I was grabbing my gun. And then like literally I have had like Starbucks baristas be more apologetic about fucking up my drink than these people are about truly grabbing the wrong thing and killing someone. And it's like, I think just to be safe, let's put them in jail for the rest of their fucking lives. Like, just to be safe, let's just put them in jail and assume it was on purpose. And then maybe if we start doing that, then cops from now on, when they reach for something, they will be extra sure that they're grabbing their taser. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking insane. And also I get really pissed off about like white people, particularly after these things happening, getting super, super, super deep in their feelings about looting, because it's like we're talking about communities that have only and historically had violence enacted against them by the state. So what would your response be at a certain point other than to enact violence against the state? You know what I mean? And private corporations are certainly a part of the state. So I don't know. I just think that a lot of the conversations after it have so little to do with like someone is dead for no reason. And it makes zero sense.
Yeah. And I am, you know, and I provided those details just because sometimes people feel annoyed when I don't provide those kinds of details.
Certainly. No, you're correct.
I don't think looting is the right answer. But I also understand, like you said, the historical forces that drive it, right? And so it's like I understand that it is the wrong response, and I understand that it is the emotional response, you know. And also that doesn't matter, Right? Yeah. Like I also, right. The other thing is like, it's like the looting is being reported on and it is, it's, and I feel really horrible about the local businesses that suffer from it. That said, it's actually like not the issue at hand.
Yeah.
The issue at hand is like the killing of unarmed black people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So, and it's so, it's
Selena,
just so,
what it, yeah.
It's just so tragic to me to see these examples exactly time and time and time again. I mean, I cannot imagine the sheer fear you must have as a black American being pulled over by a police officer, because it just, I mean, it must be absolutely terrifying. So you're really jittery. And I'm sorry, the onus is not on the person who's been pulled over to keep it calm and be okay. You know, like, this is a terrifying situation. I can only imagine. And I mean, just how heartbreaking that this trauma, this tragedy, this brutalism is met with further violence. You know, like the police that are trying to squash protests. It's like people are grieving. They're angry. This is such a terrible thing that's been going on for so long. And trying to control it and squash it and break people is not working. I mean, you got to come up with a better plan here. But you need to give people room to protest. Give them room to be angry and grieve and try to fix the system rather than just, I mean, it just seems like such an overreaction and just not commensurate with the size. I mean, everything about it, it's just, I just can't get over it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, like, you know, that something precipitated from an expired license plate tag feels, it just feels so upset. It just leaves me to say, I don't fucking know. I don't fucking get it.
Completely agree. And the thing I come back to a lot on these, I am not a moderate person, but I feel like I can find some pretty moderate proposals.
You've been sending me Joe Manchin vibes all day,
I have been
Caleb.
Giving big Joe Manchin
this
vibes.
Is so...
Well, I've been doing that privately in the chat.
Shocking.
Publicly, I have to be a leftist. But privately, I keep it pretty. No, I mean, look, I feel like a pretty moderate proposal is like, a lot of times people will be like, well, what was the officer supposed to do? Just let him get away? And it's like, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we have warrants and we have street cameras and we have, we live in a surveillance state where
you can get him in a safer situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it's overthinking. I'm so sorry, Caleb, I'm interrupting you, but
you're not.
Yeah, I mean, I think about, okay, you know, if the police officer in these in multiple interactions, like if they could kind of take three steps, sort of slow it down and think to yourself, oh, like if this person is trying to get into his car and the issue is expired license plate and a previous fine for apparently smoking pot, like, but it was also mailed to the wrong address. Like, I mean, there's all these things about the story that. But like, yeah, I don't know, if the person just bounces out of there, not the worst thing in the world. You could probably find them really easy. Have you ever, like, the DEA and the FBI find people every friggin' day. I don't know, maybe do some police work there,
and,
you know?
And like, also, in addition to that, we have a charge for that. That's called evading arrest, right? So if he gets back in the car and leaves, it's like, okay, that's an additional charge that exists in the justice system. There's no reason that you need to go out of your way to even pull a taser, I feel like. I mean, maybe if you can get it right, but it's like, just let him go and then charge him with evading arrest as well. Like,
yeah.
Selena, I believe from your dating life, you have a little bit of expertise.
I will never shut up about the fact that I used to hook up with both two different guys, one DEA, one FBI. FBI, so I feel like I know how these things
there
work,
is,
okay?
That's why we have you on the show today. And that's why
I can
you're
weigh
on
in on how
today.
The feds work. I really
and
can.
And I'm a drug lord.
But I mean, it's...
So we're getting all the perspectives.
But I think, like, that's the thing is, if there's one thing we've learned from Selena's dating life is that people don't generally get out of these things, right? Like, they are found, you know, it's...
And
it is like, let them go.
Exactly,
because it's not like they can go for long. If that's the fucking, you know, concern.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's also much safer to scoop them up in a low-key environment, usually first thing in the morning. I mean, I used to go on dates with this FBI dude, and, you know, we'd go out for drinks. I would drink. He would hang out and look at my beautiful face. But, you know, I mean, he would usually be going to, like, you know, kind of sit in his car for a couple hours, because then they would be serving warrants early in the morning when people are, you know, in theory, when people are, like, calm and sort of docile. Because, yeah, I mean, if they wanted to take in Dante Wright, if, you know, they felt like it got out of control, right at in that moment at the car was not the moment to for this, you know, like, let him go. And then, you know, presumably there's an address on file. You could find him again,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. you have license plates.
Exactly.
There's like endless things.
Yeah.
Guys, my question is like, why are we not running police, PD, Minneapolis PD?
I know, truly.
Just like the three of us. So yeah, these are all excellent points. I just wanted to get your guys' quick take on those. Folks, let me know what you think. It's obviously heartbreaking and fucking difficult to talk about and difficult to think about. So, I'm curious to hear how you're sort of parsing through the news on this one. And now let us move on to the next topic. So we read a piece in the New York Times called You Can Be a Different Person After the Pandemic by Olga Kazan. So we're going to dig into this idea that you can fucking change. In it, she writes, quote, researchers have found that adults can change the five traits that make up personality: extroversion, openness to experience, emotional stability, agreeableness, and conscientiousness within just a few months. Folks, what were your thoughts on this piece, and do you think people can change? Caleb?
Yeah, I mean, what healthy adult is surprised by this? I feel like I've seen people being like, whoa, and it's like, yeah, dude, I mean, like, you could change all the time. Like, you go to therapy, you notice a bad behavior, you have a bad fallout in a relationship and realize that you were part of the problem. Like, this is pretty, like, yeah, all of that combined with also, I don't know, maybe it's just like growing up in the closet in the red state of it all, but yeah, trauma can certainly change a person. Like, yeah, we've been through a lot of trauma this year. It's been a fucked up, insane, weird time. I have no trouble believing that people are going to come on the other side and feel, come out on the other side and feel pretty different.
Yeah, I feel myself, you know, I used to be a, you know, just hyper, hyper out every night, bouncing around, almost like compulsively social. And and now, I mean,
I've witnessed it. I've
heard about bouncing. It.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, now, you know, like, I'll meet a friend in the park for, you know, a glass of wine, you know, over the summer. We would, like, sit 6 feet apart from each other and all that jazz. And, you know, after 45 minutes, I'd be like, and I'm spent. Carry my carcass home. You know, like, I really feel like, and I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, a lot of people, we used to hustle every day, ride the subway into Midtown. And, you know, and I think a lot of people now are going to feel like they slowed down and that pace is going to, they can only go so much faster from that slowed down pace. But exactly, like, I also think it's easy sometimes to get on a track and feel like you're not allowed to say, hey, you know what, this thing that I was into for a long time doesn't work for me anymore. And so I do, and you know, and that seems obvious, and I think, you know, you would hope that more people would know, like, you're allowed to change your mind at any moment. But I think for a lot of people, they needed this to give them permission to say, hey, you know what, yeah, like, this house I've been living in that I always, you know, it's driving me batty, I'm going to move to a city, or vice versa. Or, yeah, like, you know, I don't like the kids doing a million activities, and I never did, and now I'm going to decide we're not signing up again for a million activities. You know, like, just to give yourself permission to change. And I think it's great that that's coming out of this, because, yeah, for some people, for many people, that's hard to do.
You know, it's funny because your example is the extrovert calming down, but the article mostly talks about introverts kind of getting more riled up and being more extroverted. So one of the things they found was, for example, putting more effort. Well, okay, this isn't. Let me give you now a bad idea, like a bad example of what I was just saying. One study found that putting more effort into homework led students to become more conscientious, which makes, you know, it was basically a reversal of that notion that conscientious students put more effort into doing their homework, right? It doesn't necessarily mean there's no chicken or egg thing happening here, which I think is what a lot of people are just like, the argument basically that, like, well, this is just who I am is shit. And I have long thought that it's fucking garbage, that argument. And I hate it when I hear it. I don't know how many times your friends have used this on you, but I have heard this fucking argument of people that are like, you know, I have a friend who really wants to be in a relationship, but just, you know, and refuses to do any online dating. And I'm like, look, it's 2021. I mean, I don't know. You're like, then you got to be really good about going out and meeting people in person, or you got to do the online dating. Like, you have to do one of the things.
Stop hiding behind, like, well, this is just me. It's how I am.
Right.
I hide under a rock and then I complain about it.
And that's like a terrible argument.
I also hate when people try to tell me about someone else, like, oh, well, you can't listen to him when he's like that. That's just how he is. And I always feel like, right, so then that's just why I fucking don't like him. Like,
that's not a thing to say.
It's like, oh, that's just his problem. It's like, right, and it's also my problem. That's exactly what we're discussing. I don't understand what you think you're doing.
It is hilarious how much people will, like, justify. They're like, she's a total bitch, like, 99% of the time, but 1%, heart of gold. And it's like, I don't want to deal with that 99%.
The ratio's bad. Fuck that noise. I gotta go.
Yeah. I know. It's like a thing that would make someone a good lead of an animated sitcom is not something I want to live with, right? Like, that's not how we should be living. But again, just to give more fodder to why this makes sense that people can change, a review of studies found that a month of therapy, literally any kind of therapy in just 1 month, reduced neuroticism by about half the amount you might expect to see it naturally decline in the course of an entire lifetime. And that change remained for about a year after this therapy took place. So just doing something to make that change, like if you're like, I'm neurotic and it's making me crazy, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to feel like this anymore, and you go to therapy for just a month, then it's likely, any kind of therapy, it's likely you'll see a decline in your neuroticism. After neuroticism, introversion was the most changeable personality trait.
Yeah, I bet.
And introversion and neuroticism are the two factors that play the biggest role in social anxiety. And one of the ways that they talked about, like, making that change is basically living it, right? Like, studies where people had to do the thing that they weren't comfortable with, like going to meet someone at a bar, talking to a stranger at a bar, whatever, talking in public, you know, giving a speech or something. If they did that for a few weeks, they then embraced that thing as something that they were all along. So it's like, oh, it turns out all along I was the type of person to talk to strangers in bars, right? And I thought, what did you think of that finding, that just, like, actually doing the thing made them, like, believe in themselves as that thing?
Yeah, I find that fascinating. And it reminds me of, like, when you think you have a cold, like, I feel like often when I feel a cold coming on, I'm filled with fear. Here comes this cold. Oh no, I'm going to be sick. I'm supposed to go to a party in 2 days, but I have a cold, you know? But then once I'm in the thick of the cold, I'm like, well, I have a cold. It's fine. You know, like, then I'm calm. And I feel like it's sort of similar in that people sort of convince themselves, like, well, I can't do this thing. I'm terrified of this thing. I'm terrified of this thing. And then you do the thing and it's like, oh,
right,
it's actually not that bad. I can do the thing. You know, it's like the fear of the unknown more than the actual fear of the thing.
Right.
I feel like I verbalized that in the dumbest way possible.
No,
that was
it tracks.
So dumb. It was so dumb. No.
I'm also dumb, though. You have to understand that. If I'm on your team, it's better.
The great thing, Selena.
You're welcome, dummy listeners.
The great thing, Selena, is that you get to change yourself. You know what I mean? Studies have shown. No, I'm joking. No, that's exactly right. It's like this thing, we build things up in our heads, but then once we're there, it's totally fucking fine. Is there something that maybe came to you after reading this piece that you were like, there's a quality about myself I'd like to change. Caleb, was there something that came to you that you wanted to change?
You know, it wasn't necessarily something that came to me about wanting to change, but it was something that I realized I had done really well about over the pandemic and hadn't really processed.
Oh, so this is just a compliment to Absolutely. You section and why, of
and,
the conversation.
And why okay. else would I come on the pod? You know what I mean? It's like, you guys weren't complimenting me enough, so I've decided to dive in and take the reins.
That's our fault. No, absolutely. Please continue.
No, but I think I have a very specific trait that I will continue to work on after this that I feel like I have done better about during the pandemic, which is that I crowdsource my anxiety a lot. Like, I feel a lot of pleasure.
What does that mean?
Oh, I'll text like, I have like a couple different group texts, and I'll just pick one and be like, I feel like I'm going to die of a heart attack this week. You know, whatever's fucking right. up my head, or I'll be like, I think I have a brain tumor because I had a headache yesterday. And during the pandemic, I have really tried to stop doing that because people are processing so much shit, which was true before too. And I just didn't care or notice. But after this, I really am going to try to be someone who, like, takes a breath, and when I have the impulse to do that, like, write it fucking down or something. Like, just take 5 minutes and ask, is this something you really should be putting on people in the middle of... It'd be like 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, and I'll be like, I'm worried about blood clots. You know what I mean? And that's completely inappropriate.
Right. Right. Hashtag Ramadan goals. I like
Ramadan
that.
Ramadan goals.
Selena, is there a thing that you have changed or that you wish you could change and that this article brought on for you?
Yeah, I mean, it made me, I remember a few years ago, every year for New Year's, instead of doing a resolution, I just have a mantra. And a few years ago, my mantra was, everyone's doing the best they can. And I found it to be a really helpful way just to, like, approach people, whether it's, you know, the cashier at CVS or like my coworker or my mom or my, you know, like, and I think I've been thinking about this a lot in that same way, and sort of similar to you, Caleb, where everyone is going through it, and you know, and people this past year have been processing trauma in many different ways, and some healthy, some not so healthy, some very public, some extremely private. And I think I've just tried, I think I used to sort of think like, well, the way that I process trauma is the right way. And, you know, like, and I think I've really been trying to detach from that and be like, everyone, if some people want to post about it on Facebook, cool. If that works for them, great. You know, like, if, you know, like, if other people, you know, burrow down and need to, like, I think I've just, you know, this year has helped me just to be a little more thoughtful about, like, you know, everyone's doing the best they can. And especially in light of major, major, you know, trauma and hardship.
I think the great thing about that everyone's doing the best they can is that it sort of reminds you that in every interaction you have, everyone's doing the best they can. And what if they just found out the worst news of their life?
Yeah.
And that's why they yelled at you, you know, for fucking spilling milk at, you know, at the coffee counter or whatever, you know? Everyone's doing the best they can. And what if a woman, you know, just got a severe diarrhea poop in her butt? And that's why if? She's yeah. like acting
Been
super
there.
Weird
yeah. and not Been there. And back not off, everybody.
You know, and I think, so I think that's great because it also sort of like it encourages a level of just empathy for people that I think is really remarkable. One of the things that it's interesting because, like, I'm a comedian and I have to go up in front of strangers all the time. And since I've been back doing live shows, by the way, guys, New York, there are live shows available to you now indoors that are, you know, at I think it's 35% capacity. You should go if you feel safe. And weirdly, like most of the, I would say 97% of the audiences I've performed for have been fully vaccinated. So that's also interesting. But mine is I think I would love to change my self-talk. Like, I say a lot of shit, garbage things to myself about myself. And I think that it really, like, bites. It just eats away at my self-confidence. And it's weird to be like, I have a confidence issue, but I'm in the most, you know, outward facing fucking job, right?
Yeah.
It's like, but it's really common, wouldn't you say, for comedians to like hate themselves and be really not confident?
Oh, totally. Yeah, oh, big time.
Even ones that are like, you know, careerist, you know, I remember having a conversation with a very famous comedian who was asking me, hey, you think they'd take me on Wait, Don't Tell Me? And I was like, dude, like, do you want me to make an introduction? You're fucking famous. Like, this is ridiculous that we're having this conversation. But, like, I was like, oh, that self-confidence issue just is, it's cool. I get to lean on it in my 50s and 60s. Great. You know, it'll just be with me forever if this fucking guy who is, you know, a world-famous comedian has it. And I want to get rid of it, you know, mm-hmm. And I feel like reading this article made me feel like, oh, I can just act more confident and just nicer to myself in my own head.
Yeah.
And then I will be more confident and nicer to myself.
My thing with that, honestly, I 100% relate to you. And mine was so bad a couple years ago that just like Selena said, I had to come up with a mantra. I was like, okay, I literally was like posting it online, writing it in my journal. Like I was for like literally like 15 months just constantly posting, which is so corny, but I was just posting you're doing fine and people like you, because I was constantly feeling like, I'm not doing enough. People are over it. You know what I mean? And it really,
yes.
It worked. I mean,
and you're a gay icon, and you had those
if
thoughts.
That can happen to me, imagine who it could happen to.
Oh my God. Yeah. I had some of those mantras on post-its around my bedroom mirror. And I just remember back in my like hookup days, like bringing a guy home and being like, I just got to take care of some stuff in my bedroom. And like ripping down all the post-its.
I will say also something kind of in relation to the article and also the mantra thing of it all that I was thinking earlier, Selena, when you were saying that was there's an unfortunate thing that happens around mental health talk where really good, like catchy, like actually helpful mantras get like run into the fucking ground by like faux mental health people who are actually just justifying. Like, for example, that article made me think of, I'm sure you guys have all heard somebody say, I can do hard things or we can do hard things. And it's like, that's true. That's a good mantra. That's actually helpful. But now I've seen it on like so many throw pillows that I'm like, I hate it. You know what I mean?
Right. It's outworn. It's usefulness. Or like it just feels hacked at this
shark.
Point.
Yeah.
So you roll your eyes. Yeah. It's nice to have something that's like very personal to you.
Yeah.
That'll make it, you know, I remember hearing this woman, I've mentioned this on the show before, who was like a gold medalist in mogul skiing or whatever. where that's the skiing where they have to go over these things anyway. Sorry, I don't know. And she didn't like the jumping aspect of the skiing, but she was like, if I want to be a gold medalist, I'm gonna have to really get into jumping. And so she wrote all over her post-it notes, said, you love jumping. You love jumping. You love jumping. Jumping so great. Jumping so fun. Jumping so awesome. Like, and then she became a gold medalist, right? And so I think that kind of like specificity to yourself makes the thing less of a throw pillow mantra and more,
exactly.
You know, something that you can work with. Well, folks, I love talking about this shit, and I don't know, hit me up in 2 months and ask me if I'm fucking nicer to myself. We'll see. Let's see. I don't know. Audience, is there a thing you're trying to do? Have you checked out this article or this conversation, and has it made you want to like change a thing? Let me know. I'm so curious to hear. All right, that is the end of the show. Caleb and Selena, my question to you is, how do you feel?
Feel great. Feeling really good. Yeah, this was a great conversation and wide-ranging, heartfelt, delightful, and it's been a blast to hang out with you guys.
Ah, same here. And Caleb, how do you feel? It could be anything from I feel Pop-Tarts to existential.
You know, I just feel like what a special little time we got to spend together. I am absolutely starving. I'm going to eat as soon as I get off here, and I'm so happy to have talked about and pretty much solved the world's issues with you guys.
Oh yeah, we that's right. We finished it. Yeah, we finished all the issues.
We fixed everything.
We did them. Yeah, yeah. No, that's so great. I'm glad. I've been meaning to do it, and now here
well, you keep
we
putting
are.
It
We've
off. You keep putting it off, but then eventually,
it does.
Get
no,
done.
It's all, it's
and it's
all,
not that hard to do once you're doing it. You know, it's just
once
the dread
that
keeps
it.
You away.
Oh, guys, I'm gonna have a completely different personality next time we talk. So just gear up for that. All right, folks. What I would really love is for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow you and all the good things that you're doing. Selena, where do they find you?
Yes, all my handles are SelenaCopock. Well, actually not all, but most. Twitter, Insta, all that fun stuff, my website. But then NYT Vows is my sweet baby where I mock the wedding industrial complex and the New York Times wedding section. And that is Twitter and Insta and literally NYTVOWS.
And also, Selena has a comedy album out there that you could consume.
I do, yeah. Nikki, you're so good. Yes, I have a great album. It's on iTunes, Spotify, all that fun places. It's called Seen Better Days. I think it's hilarious. I'm very, very proud of it.
I think it's hilarious.
Thanks, girl.
Everyone should absolutely listen to it. It's fantastic. And Caleb, where do people find you?
First and foremost, I want everyone to go listen to Selena's album. And then if you want to find me afterwards, only if you have time, you can find me. Only if you have time, you can find me at Caleb Says Things on all social media. And also check out my HeadGum podcast with Shelby Wolfstein, Keeping Records. We're talking about space and culture.
Oh my gosh. And the really extra fun thing is that I'm going to be joining Keeping Records at some point.
In a big way.
So it is going to be a Fake the Nation Keeping Records crossover extravaganza. So no, definitely subscribe to the podcast. Follow him on all the things. We're so happy to have met him here at Fake the Nation. And we'll definitely have you back because you're delightful. And folks, you know where to find me and all of the stuff that I do. Thanks everyone who's been watching Bird Girl on Adult Swim. I'm just so delighted that you've been doing that. I'm really moved. I blush that you've been doing that. Thank you so much. And thank you for everyone who's been joining the Patreon, patreon.com/NikkiParsad. You guys have been so delightful. You're going to get another bonus coming at you next week. And of course, I'd like to thank everyone who makes this podcast possible. That's our wonderful producer, Julia Linden, our fantastic sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar, and all the wonderful people at HeadGum. Our theme music is written by Gabby Alter. And as always, rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts because it helps people find the show. That's an actual thing. And if you have any ideas about what we should be talking about, you know, guest ideas, a recipe that you want to share, please email us at fakethenation@headgum.com. Again, that's fakethenation@headgum.com. And we'll be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.